Hello everyone, we're back. Welcome to the Laura Horn Art Podcast.
Hello Laura, how are you going?
I'm good. It's good to be back.
It is really good to be back. I'm ready.
So am I. That's the wonderful thing about taking a break is that initially I was thinking, I don't know if I want to go back. I was enjoying being off. But then just in the last week or two, I could feel like the kind of itchiness to get back into some creative work.
Yeah, me too.
And here we are sitting in our podcast chairs the first time in 6 weeks, and I have this list in front of me. And what I realized was that I have all this built up chatter.
Oh no.
And I started writing things that we could talk about, like little dot points, and it just kept adding things. And this is what happens when you don't have a conversation for 6 weeks. But fortunately for you anyway, I have an appointment to go to. So
great.
This won't be a 2-hour episode, but it could be.
Yeah,
it
could easily talk for 2 hours. Like, we've got so much to talk about.
We do, because it's been an interesting period in our lives. And for anyone who doesn't know, the reason that we took a break, well, actually, it wasn't the reason. We decided to take a 6-week break from the podcast initially because we'd been working very solidly for a long time, and we're all about staying healthy while we run this creative business. And we recognized that we needed to take some time out. And then we bought a house not long after that. And it was kind of funny because we're meant to be relaxing and we then take on this other huge project. And when I say a huge project, I guess the big part of it for us was that we then needed to sell the house that we are living in at the moment. And we hadn't really given any thought to that. So we needed to tidy it up, declutter, clean, fix things, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, get it ready for sale. But I remember we were talking about it and it was quite true. When we took our break, like, we'd been working really, really hard, putting in lots of hours, showing up every day, you know? And then if we had just had a hard stop, that could have been quite unhealthy. So we kind of, yes, selling a house is a bit stressful and we had a bit of work to do, but it was less work than what we were used to. So we kind of eased into our holiday. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I've had situations before where I have been working hard on a project and then when I stop, I think it's going to be fantastic, but I end up having this kind of, I just feel really down. Like, it, I don't know, it's like a, I need something to keep me busy in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what was great about this was that we went from running a big course and having a lot of work in our art business to then having this job of fixing up our house where we were able to kind of keep our hands busy and more of a physical kind of work. And that just felt like, I don't know, it was really good for the soul.
Yeah.
To be busy in that way. And it was very family orientated. So the kids were getting involved, washing windows and decluttering their rooms and filling up garbage bags with things to take to charity. And it was a very enjoyable process. It was hard work and I will say it was all consuming. Like, during the few weeks that we were getting the house ready for sale and then listing it, and we had open inspections. The house is now under offer, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
But I couldn't think about anything else really. I had some time to come into the studio and make art. There were days when I could have and I thought that I would, but I just couldn't. I don't know, I felt very creatively blocked at that time. I was enjoying doing the house stuff, but I couldn't give my attention to anything to do with the art business, which is good because we were on a break and I wasn't meant to be anyway. But it surprised me because usually I'm buzzing with ideas all the time. And it was like I was just drawing a blank in that part of my life. And towards the end of the 6-week break, I started to worry about it a little bit, as you do, you know, when you're like, am I ever going to feel creative again? Am I going to want to create a class or even paint a painting? Then what happened was we received some good information about the purchasers that were buying our house. So the house selling process has a number of steps and you're kind of on edge as you wait for things like building inspections, to hear back from their bank and all that sort of stuff. And we had some good news in relation to that, so that the house was pretty much sold, like it was a done deal. And at that point, it was like this huge weight was lifted off my shoulders. And the very next day, I went into the studio and it was like a creative explosion. I just suddenly felt super excited to make art, and it just happened. And it made me realize that often you carry a lot of stress without realizing it. And this was what was happening to me, because on the surface, I was very happy. Like, I was like, I'm enjoying my break. You know, I'm not too stressed. It's great. But obviously, deep down, I was worrying about things and it was affecting me. I wanted to mention this because I thought that there might be people who are listening that are going through something, whether that be, you know, moving house or something like that, or it could be dealing with perhaps, you know, parents that have needs or something in your life, or it could be some bad news you've received. And to just recognize that that stuff can take quite a deep toll on you, and to be gentle with yourself, and also to know that your creativity will wait for you. It'll come back when you are ready. And that was a big lesson that I had during this 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's a nice thing to say, that your creativity will wait for you.
Yeah.
It's not going to go away.
Yeah, and it's always there. And sometimes you do need to take a break from making art, and it's okay. You know, we all have things that we need to work through at times, family, friends that need us. And sometimes you do need to perhaps put your art away for a little bit. And during that time, what will be happening is you will be taking stuff in that eventually, when you do get the chance to sit down, it's there. And that's what I found. And that's what I found when I eventually could paint, was that I had all these ideas. And I think that they were bubbling away in the background during the 6 weeks when I thought that I was totally blank. So anyway, that was a really quite a long little piece there, but I wanted to mention that. And we haven't done our review of the week. Skipped right into the podcast.
Oh, do we have a review?
We do. We have a lovely review, and it's from Elizabeth at Elizabeth Sullivan Art. And I follow Elizabeth and have done for a very long time over on Instagram. So I just wanted to say hello. Go and check her out. Her art is beautiful. So the review is brilliant teamwork. Dear Laura and Richie, I was so moved with your podcast this week when Laura interviews Richie. It was very clear Richie was speaking from the heart. And to hear a man speak so openly and with such emotion was beautiful. I think you'll find the feedback from your listeners and followers goes through the roof. The two of you are brilliant together and so inspiring. Working, living and parenting together requires a very strong and solid relationship. And you are quite the example, a formidable team who support each other's strengths. I find myself eagerly awaiting the download of each new episode on Wednesdays. I haven't missed one yet. Thank you both, Elizabeth. Oh, wow, Elizabeth, I had no idea that you've listened to every episode.
That's great, isn't it?
That's amazing. And when we got that review, it was just before we decided to take the break. And when I read it and saw that Elizabeth waits for each episode to come out on Wednesday, I was like, oh, no.
We better keep going.
We better keep going.
Thanks for listening to every episode, Elizabeth. We really appreciate that.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth. And I hope that you're tuning in this week and enjoy the episode. So I mentioned before that this week, I think I mentioned that this will be a bit of a chatty one. And I've got, yes, I did mention that. I've already forgotten what I said at the beginning, but I mentioned that I had a lot of things that came up for me and that I wanted to talk about. And I just wanted to, I guess, continue with the update about the house. So we have sold our house that we're in and we're moving into a new house. It's in a different area to where we are now, but it is where I grew up. So it's very exciting.
Yeah. And it's not till November. So we still have 6 weeks.
Yeah, we have a long settlement period. We are getting so impatient though, aren't we? We can't wait to move into the new house.
You know it's long when Asher starts complaining, because Asher's like the most easygoing kid I know. But he's now saying, when are we moving in? What month are we moving in on? What week are we moving in? So I think he's ready to move too.
It probably doesn't help that Sophia, our daughter, and I have been talking about it nonstop.
Non-stop. And you've been like stalking the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's getting embarrassing. We keep driving past and getting out and staring at through, trying to get a better glimpse at the house. And then hiding behind a bush when people see us.
I think you should get off this topic before people start thinking you're like you're proper psycho.
They already know that anyway.
They do.
So I talked earlier about how I felt about taking a break. How did you feel? What was it like for you?
It was good at the beginning, but the stress of the move was surprisingly high for me.
We haven't actually moved yet.
Yeah.
You mean the stress of selling?
The sale, yeah. And I didn't think it would, I guess. Being burnt by the global financial crisis 12 years ago, really affected me, I think. You know, holding on to that house in Ireland, not being able to sell it. I think it affected me a lot more than I thought. So yeah, when we went in to sell our house this time, yeah, I was stressed. I didn't think we could sell it, you know, especially with everything that's going on with COVID and people not working. And but here in South Australia, it's kind of like we're in this little bubble where people don't wear masks and there's hardly any social distancing. We have big stadiums with football games on and the property market is really booming. But it didn't stop me from being stressed. And the funny thing about stress is you don't know you're stressed. It's the people around you that they see something wrong.
Yeah, I could certainly see it with you. You were on edge, especially in the first few weeks when we made the decision quite quickly, because you hadn't had a lot of time to even get your head around the idea that we were going to sell our house. Yeah, you seemed to be fearful, very fearful about whether it was all going to work out. And even our real estate agent was having to kind of calm you down and placate you around whether or not the house would sell. But I get it. I mean, I understand we had a house in Ireland and we never thought that we would have a house that we couldn't sell, but we couldn't sell it.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, like, I didn't know how stressed I was. And what would happen is the real estate agent would come around and we'd be talking about, okay, how much do you want to put the house on the market for? And he's talking about, you know, fluctuations and the work done to the house and the market and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just looking at him saying, just sell it. I don't care how much we make. I just don't want to be left with a dud, you know?
Yeah.
I just want rid of the house. And he's looking at me like I have two heads. I'm like, what are you talking about? Because he has never, ever witnessed any kind of a crisis, a property crisis. But we bought our house in Ireland and we couldn't sell it.
Yeah.
You know, we just couldn't sell it. And he just couldn't wrap his head around the fact that you couldn't sell a house.
Yeah, I mean, you have to go through it, don't you, to really understand it. I would never have thought it. I grew up thinking bricks and mortar is always a safe bet.
Same in Ireland. And the funny thing is, like, people who rode the wave of the global financial crisis at home, like my friends and that kind of stuff, yes, it has come back around.
It's taken a very long time, though.
Well, it took a long time.
I think houses now, 12 years later, are only just reaching the value they were when they were bought.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been a long, long time waiting for house prices to come back up.
Without trying to sound too soppy and all that kind of stuff, and I know material things shouldn't make you happy, but seeing how happy you are, you know, with the house and the neighbours and the chickens and the view and the area and moving back up to your family, like, there's been a shift. There's been a shift in you. And any stress I felt or anything like that, I knew it would be worth it.
It's been a very, I don't know, like, it's a decision that's not necessarily a practical one, but for me it's very much, it feels so good because I'm going back to be closer to my family. My dad's getting older. We've got cousins up there and the house is, it's like the house that I've always dreamed about, like when I was a kid, like when I was a child. It's got a kind of storybook quality to it. And yeah.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, it is. It felt good. It's when I walked in, it was just, yeah, this is right.
But I guess the lessons learned from this is that we work in this business, this art business, not for monetary outcome, although it's important, but we truly work to achieve a lifestyle. And that was evident over the break and the selling of the house and the selection of the new house and all that kind of stuff. And it kind of, the break has kind of reinforced in me that what we're doing is absolutely the right thing to be doing. We don't release tons of content. We release stuff that we believe in, that we put our heart and soul into. We work on it. So it's, for us, it's our level of excellence. And this break has really made me look back at our work and be super proud of it and know that this is the way we're going to continue going forward. Like, I wasn't on the break thinking, this needs to change, that needs to change, oh, we better do this, and we're not doing enough of that. I just felt, yeah, I just felt that what we're doing is excellent for us. I'm not saying our content is excellent. What I'm saying is that what we've achieved is really, really good, and I'm very, very proud of it, and I'm very happy to be back.
It's amazing how you kind of need to take that break in order to have those reflections and realizations that you're exactly where you're meant to be.
It took me that long to say that, didn't it? See, this is what happens when I don't talk for a while. I go back to the blubbering idiot that I am.
But yeah, the break got me thinking about things too, and particularly in relation to it being a lifestyle and it being sustainable and feeling good, and it not just being about art, but being about our family and the way that we operate, I guess, on a daily basis. And there are a few things from the break that I want to bring in going forward. And it's not necessarily about big changes. It's more about continuing to do what we're doing and what's working well.
You said earlier on sustainable.
Mm.
And I think after having this break, we realize what we need to be able to do to maintain this progress for a long time. Not for another year, not for another five, but for a long time. Yeah, I think taking the break that you didn't want to take, but you needed to take, was important. And then when you come off the back of that break and you realize, oh, we can take a break and it's good for us.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I felt so happy about, was coming out of this and going, you know what, we took a break. We stopped recording podcasts. We stopped filming classes. I didn't even make much art. I wasn't in the studio. We did hop onto our computers just to check emails and make sure that people who couldn't access our classes and things like that were able to. So there was a little bit of that, but most things we dealt with quickly and then we just put aside. After that, I realized, yeah, it's possible to take some good downtime in the art business and then be able to come back and keep going. This got me onto this idea of sustainable consistency. Little catchphrase.
Sustainable consistency.
Yeah, because we talk about consistency a lot. But what I'm interested in at the moment is how to make consistency sustainable. One of the changes that we are making is recording the podcast in seasons and doing maybe 10, 12 episodes and then taking a break. And this is so that we can keep doing the podcast for a long time. And it also enables our listeners to catch up if they've got behind on a few episodes. And people have mentioned that while they've missed us, it's been good because they've been able to either revisit or catch up on episodes they haven't listened to. And it gives us time to plan a little bit more, reach out to artists. We've lined up some guest interviews that will be happening over the next few months. But mostly it allows us to get off that content treadmill. What is it?
Merry-go-round.
What is it? Not a treadmill. What is it? A
content hamster wheel?
Hamster wheel, yeah. Mm. Where you just don't have much time to catch your breath. And this can be challenging if you put out content on a very regular basis. So if you're putting out YouTube videos, podcasting, or running some kind of course that goes for the whole year, or a membership site or something like that, where you are always putting out new stuff, it can be hard to breathe. And even though you can get ahead, you can batch, you can pre-schedule things, you always need to be there to kind of manage it when it comes out. So you might publish something, you have to go in and check it's okay and respond to questions. And it's very difficult to feel a sense of release or ease or space. This is something I've noticed in the creative community. Burnout comes up all the time. I don't want to experience that. I've gone through periods of burnout before, but not to the point where it's been really debilitating, but I see that potential. I want it to be healthy and happy and nourishing and to feel excited about the content that we're putting out rather than it just being, oh, we need to put something out. And taking a break allows for that, because not only do you get rested and energized, but you get excited about what you're going to do next. And this has happened for us, and we've been chatting about dusting off our vlog because we want to get back into creating things. We want to create videos, little films, and do what it is that we love. You have your skills that you want to use and flex those muscles. I want to get back to making art, chatting about artsy things. And we're doing it because we want to, not for any real business reason. We've never created vlogs for a business reason. We create vlogs because we like making things. I also like the idea of documenting our lives and our journey, particularly as we're about to go through a big change. I've been thinking about how it would be lovely to capture some of that, even to look back on for us, for our own personal memories. And I've put the feelers out. Our community have come back saying, yeah, we'd love to have some more personal style videos where you chat about moving into your new house and setting up your studio space at home and what it's like to go through those changes, even with the kids. They're both starting new schools, all that sort of stuff. We're happy about it. We've been chatting and sharing ideas and looking forward to making some little films. So, yeah.
Yeah, I really, really can't wait for that. I think it'll be nice, you know. It'll be cute.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what platform we'll do it on. I've spoken before on the podcast about my reservations of being a YouTuber.
Yeah, look, I'm a really strong advocate of positivity. And I think we tend to be attracted magnetically to negative comments. Like, you could have 1,000 positive comments on a post, but that one negative comment will linger in your mind. And I think YouTube can be a little bit toxic in that area. So I think we should just keep it like we did the last one, keep it on the website.
Yeah. So at the moment we have vlogs from last year and we haven't put them on any of the social media platforms like Instagram or YouTube. We put them on our website. They don't get a huge amount of traffic there, but our community that knows us and trusts us, they come to our website and they look at the vlogs there. And we're quite happy to keep going in that way and to keep it for our community.
Yeah, it's a little bit personal.
You know? Yeah. And, you know, I share about the vlogs in my newsletter. And one of the things that I'm looking at is making the newsletter a very big focus for me. I am pulling back from social media at the moment. And we all sat down as a family last weekend and watched The Social Dilemma. I know that that's trending on Netflix at the moment and opening up a lot of conversations about social media habits. I think that's fantastic. We all talked about it. And one of the things that I'm doing is just being more mindful about how much time I'm spending on social media and the kind of content that I'm putting out. And over the break, I didn't post it as much. And I have to say, it felt really good. I don't like being a slave to my phone. I enjoy making content and only putting it out when I'm excited about it rather than because, oh, I should post. And that's the way I want to continue. And I'll be using my newsletter a lot more. And I like that. I don't know. I was going to say I'm old school. It's funny thinking that email is old school.
But when you say old school, I'm thinking
like letters.
Yes, I used to write letters to people and dial up telephones.
Now email is old school.
Oh my god!
But I really like email.
I'm just gonna go curl up in a ball.
You're so old. I really like email, and I'm very much like email is my top priority. So a while back, I started getting very overwhelmed because I was getting messages from all the platforms, like Instagram direct messages, Facebook messages, comments, teachable comments, and it just started to feel like overload. And I made a decision back then that I would prioritize email. So I do have a, like an automatic message.
Automatic response, yeah.
Yeah, which I felt a bit bad about putting that on there, but it's been a good decision because now we get so many wonderful emails that we can give our attention to. And that's what we've been doing. So we will be using email a lot more, and I'll be sending out my newsletter and including more of my kind of personal thoughts in that rather than on social media. And that will also be where we will link up the vlog episodes and things like that. I also wanted to mention here that I do have a lot of the answers to my questions over on the website, and there is a resources page. It's probably a good time to mention it because there is a PDF on the resources page called 10 Tips to Improve Your Painting. And in that, I talk a lot about my suppliers as well as the approaches that I use in my art practice. It's quite a juicy workbook. Well, it's not a workbook, it's a guide that you can download that has all the things I use, brushes, paints, sketchbooks, processes. So you might want to head over there if you wanted to get some of those kind of questions answered. So that's at laurahornart.com/resources.
The amount of people I send over to the resources page who come back to me with emails of, oh my God, I didn't know this existed.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's lots of juicy stuff over there. There's the vlog, there's workbooks, there's PDFs, there's...
Yeah, there's plenty of things. There's a free course over there, yeah. Our collage course. Over 10,000 people have now taken that course. So head on over there if you haven't checked it out. We'll be adding new things to that and we'll be putting the new vlogs there too. So when I was thinking about sustainable consistency, another area I thought about was my art practice. And in particular, I wanted to make sure that I could keep making art as we go through this pretty stressful time of change. And particularly with moving house and having boxes and things, I realized that chances are I'm not going to have a lot of time, but I'm also going to feel that stress again that I felt when we were selling our current house. And I may not want to make art. And I wanted to at least do something that would make it easy. So if I do want to make art, it's fairly gentle, which was kind of funny because initially the first day when I was thinking about making art, I was like, okay, I want to paint a canvas. I want to make a new series. I want to work in my sketchbook. Maybe I'll do some wooden panels. No, I think I need to do some watercolor pieces. This is what my head was like as I started thinking about the art that I could create over the next couple of months.
Now that I'm rested, how can I exhaust myself as quickly as possible?
Exactly. And I was just like, my head was just melted because there were so many things that I wanted to do. But I realized that this was not going to end well. Luckily, I was in my car and it was like I had to catch myself out. Not only did I want to paint all of these things, I also wanted them to all be masterpieces. Mm,
the usual.
So I'm like driving into the studio going, right, I'm going to do this. It's all going to be amazing and I'm just going to be the most brilliant artist ever. And then I went, hang on a minute. It's me. It doesn't work like that for me.
Hashtag calm down, Laura.
And so I went, you know what? You know what I'm going to do this month? I'm only working in my sketchbook and I've already started this. And wow, what a great decision to make. Suddenly I don't have all of those other things to overwhelm me and I just have this one place and it's portable, it's easy for me to set up. I have thought about what art supplies I'll be using. I have them out and it's brilliant. So if you are in a phase where either you just want to do all the things and you're just feeling a bit chaotic, or you've got something big going on in your life and you just know that you probably aren't able to do all the things even if you want to, have a go at just spending a month in only a sketchbook. Like, make it simple, make it easy, and see how that feels, because I'm already finding it's a great place to like try out all the ideas. So all those ideas that I have, I'm just putting them into my sketchbook because I know that not all of them are worth pursuing. So I've got an opportunity to kind of mess around and then find the gems in amongst all the kind of rubbish that's coming out, because that's the reality for me. I have to make a lot of rubbish before I find things that I want to pursue and make more of.
Yeah, because just on the stress thing, what I found, especially with the house sale, is that the stress I've been dealing with lately in my life, and when I say lately, I mean over the last few years before we went into business together, it was stress that was very relatable. Like you would come home from work and you go, oh, it was a hard day, I'm stressed. Or have an argument with somebody and it would stress you out and you'd be able to pinpoint why you're stressed. But when we were selling the house, like really good things were happening. We put in an offer on this amazing house and we got it. And it's an amazing achievement and we're all very happy and we go and we celebrate. And then we put our own house on the market and someone puts in an offer and they want to buy it. But there's all these little invisible stresses that I didn't know I was feeling. You know, the stress of like silly things, like will their finance be approved? The person that's living in our house, is she going to set fire to it? You know, like, will it still be there by the time we move in? Like just crazy thoughts that add these kind of invisible stresses to me. And it's not till I came back to work that I realized that that stress was building and building and building. And it was totally invisible. I didn't know it was happening. And it's not until things are almost back to normal that I've realized that I've, for the last couple of weeks, this stress has been affecting me. You know, it's been weighing on me a little. And again, as I said to you, I didn't even notice it. It was you and the kids and my friends that noticed it. And I can see how people can get burned out because it's almost silent.
Yeah, that's a good way of describing it, because you don't recognize it until it's too late. It is like an invisible stress, and there's a lot of saying to yourself, I'm fine, I'm fine, it's cool, it's okay. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I think you can be stressed even though everything is great. And that's what's sort of hard to reconcile in your head, because you're like, well, everything's going really well and, you know, we've achieved this and this has happened. Why am I stressed? Why am I worrying? Like, it couldn't have gone any better. But stress doesn't work that way.
No. stress doesn't care about your feelings.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's not logical like that. It's very irrational. And that's the thing that I notice with myself, is that I have irrational stress, like, and I catastrophize things again and again. And it's just been, it's actually been a really bad period for me as far as turning everything into a potential catastrophe in my head. Yeah. And I've had to catch myself out and just go, you've got to stop. And I've got to stop looking on Google, because it's a bit of a funny story, but our daughter wanted to look something up on Google and she went into my phone, and I didn't want her to go on my phone because she would see all my last searches. And I grabbed the phone from her, and the kids were chasing me around the house trying to get the phone off of me. And then I was like, oh my God, she's going to think I'm looking at something really bad, but it wasn't that. But in my search history, it was like bushfire risk in the area we're buying in, you know, possible cancer that I might have.
That tumor.
building structural problems in timber houses. Like, it's just this like long list of like disasters that I had been Googling. And I didn't want her to see that. And then afterwards, I said to her, look, I'll be honest with you. The reason I didn't want you to see is because I'd been anxious, and I just talked to her. I just had an honest conversation about how I'd been searching things on the internet because I was feeling anxious, and that sometimes this can make you feel a lot worse because you find the worst case situations and scenarios, and the internet doesn't always serve you up the truth. It serves you up sensationalized stories and things like that. So I said, this isn't a good practice. And then, you know, we ended up watching The Social Dilemma, and it showed how the internet can tap into your fears and emotions and anxieties. And it was an interesting conversation. I'm really glad that these things are talked about.
what I'm finding with the stress thing is that it's justifiable. I have this justifiable stress. We didn't sell the house in Ireland. The global financial crisis, COVID, like all this justifiable stress. And it's just a question of who cares, you know, just get on with your day today.
That's an interesting point, because I remember you saying that you recognized that you were using the stress as an excuse in a way to maybe behave in a way that you weren't happy about.
Yeah.
I don't know if I explained that very well, but you said, oh, you know, and you had to kind of like pull yourself out of that because and say, you know what, even though this is stressful, I'm still responsible for how I carry on in my life.
Yeah.
And that's another interesting point to it all, because we say, oh, be gentle with yourself because you're going through a stressful time. But we also need to take responsibility always.
Yeah. As my old coach used to say, give yourself an uppercut. Yeah, snap out of it.
Yeah. And that's what you went, you know what, I've got to snap out of this because I'm snapping at the kids and I'm doing this, that and the other. And it's, you know, I'm almost using this house stress as a, oh, but I'm stressed.
Again, it comes all the way back to why we got into this lifestyle in the first place. I'm going to stop calling it a business. I'm going to start calling it a lifestyle. Because Asher's 8. He doesn't care whether we live in a big lovely house in the hills or we stay in Hallett Cove. He just wants his dad to be around. He doesn't want me snapping at him. Like, if you give him the option, do you want to live in a cardboard box or do you want to live in a big huge house where daddy's snappy all the time? He'll pick that cardboard box every single time. So that's why you got to step back, look at a bigger picture and enjoy it, you know?
Well, I think that's a perfect place for us to wrap this podcast. I hope everyone's enjoyed having us back. We're happy to be back.
Yeah, so happy to be back.
And next week, we have a brilliant episode. I'm absolutely thrilled. Carrie Schmidt is returning to the podcast. You know how much I enjoyed our first conversation. And this time, we get to dive in deep with a topic which is brilliant. And we're talking about books, and in particular, the book writing process. And Carrie shares her insights and experiences. It's a wonderful chat. So I hope that you'll tune in next week. I can't wait for that one to come out.
Me either.
And one last thing before we go, I did want to mention that this month's featured class is Watercolour Explorations. And this is a brilliant one if you want to get started with watercolour. We do swatching, lots of warm-up exercises in your sketchbook, and then we move on to creating two larger abstract pieces. It's a mini class and it's on sale at the moment for $28. You can jump straight into the class. The videos are downloadable. You have lifetime access. If you want to join in, you can hop over and find the class at laurahornart.com/classes. As I said, the class is called Watercolour Explorations and the coupon code is WE2020. That will get you the $28 price and it expires on the 19th of October 2020. I think I've got it all there. So that's it for this week. I hope everyone has a lovely week.